Está a ouvir um podcast da Universidade do Porto.
Welcome to Library Talks, I3S University of Porto. Weekly, we'll meet researchers from all over the world. We'll know the stories behind the scientists and learn about their work in health science. For the past few years, we've been warned that climate change is scarier than ever, and that we are to blame. So we could use a little help, which may very well come from cyanobacteria. To get to the bottom of this, we speak to Polly Kallio, who may be considered as a scientist out of the box. Polly works in the crosstalk of three major fields, molecular and synthetic biology, as well as microbiology. So, Paul, thank you for being here to the Science Podcast. To begin with, why plant biology research today?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Why plant research biology today?
Why?
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 My question is twofold. First, what drew you into this field? And also, why is it important to study in this field today?
Okay. I would say that one of the fundamental things in nature which keeps everything running is photosynthesis. So that's why if we want to understand the basic concepts of things that allow us to live, we need to understand photosynthesis. And of course, there has been a lot of research on the molecular mechanisms of photosynthesis to understand the processes. But nowadays, there are many fields of science like ours which aims to actually use that information for some applications that humans could benefit from. So that's why if we think about like renewable future, we think about ways of actually finding alternatives for non-renewable petroleum-derived products, photosynthesis will ultimately be the answer, because photosynthesis gives us the food, it allows us to use solar energy in different forms. So it's kind of like you can't get any closer to the fundamental important things than this research.
And what interested you in particular to study photosynthesis?
Well, I am originally not a photosynthesis researcher. I'm originally a pure biochemist focused on enzymology and molecular biology. And then I had the opportunity to actually transfer my knowledge into photosynthesis research through some good coincidences. So I had this vision in my head that I want to work with Professor Eeva-Mari Aro, who's the main photosynthesis researcher in Finland and very well known all around the world. So I just thought that I'll do anything to get into her lab, and then I'll just implement my knowledge into her field. So since 2012, I've been then focusing on photosynthetic organisms. So I come from a different direction. Okay. And the photosynthesis has just been kind of the thing that I've been learning. But still the molecular things, if you think about enzymes and chemical reactions, they are the same in all organisms.
And why were you so focused in working in our lab of that professor that you just mentioned?
Well, because I think she's one of the greatest scientists I know.
Okay.
And so basically her impact in science, but also as a kind of a person who takes science not only in the scientific community, but she influences a lot also in relation to decision makers, and she's involved in this science politics stuff, really trying to make a difference with her research. So kind of like she's a big scientific person who's easy to look up to.
Okay. And did you have any other key influencers in the beginning of your path and when choosing what topics to research about?
Not really, like person-wise.
Or works,
so
or
papers. I think my kind of focus was I just wanted to do biochemistry. So basically, I already knew that at school when I didn't even know what biochemistry was. So I just liked biology and chemistry. Mm-hmm. And when I found out later on, like more what biochemistry is, then that's kind of the thing that I realized that that's my thing. Like in any field of science, it's great because, I mean, it's so really difficult. And, you know, people need challenges. And biochemistry was just the perfect challenge for me. Yeah.
But what aspect of biochemistry do you like the most, if you can name one?
What aspect?
Why biochemistry and not biophysics or bio?
Well, let's say enzymes.
Enzymes.
Enzymes are kind of the key thing. And of course, enzymes alone, I mean, they are not kind of an independent entity, because enzymes, then you are really close to genetics, you are really close to regulatory systems. So it's kind of a working motor within a complex network. But for example, you can't work in metabolic engineering if you don't understand what enzymes are and what they do. But maybe that's kind of, that's the subject I've looked at in the most detail. Maybe that's why I know more about those. So that's why it's easy to be interested in them.
Okay. And when you had this new field of photosynthesis research to your research in biochemistry, did your view on biochemistry change somehow when you saw it working in with another field?
I think that's a great question, because yes, before going to the photosynthesis research, I didn't realize this, but we did not really care about electrons. So things did not really revolve around electrons. Mm-hmm. And now kind of we are looking at the same things, same reactions and so on, but suddenly electrons are the key thing. So there was a perspective that I never thought of before. So basically, when we think about photosynthetic organisms, we kind of think about the electron transfer within the metabolic network. And that's the key important thing. And even though I had been looking at biosynthetic reactions and pathways and all those things before, in detail, in different concepts, in vivo, in vitro, electrons just were there. I ignored them. I knew that, of course, when you think about chemical reaction when written down, but I'm not so big fan of organic chemistry, so, you know, those are things that I could look up from a textbook. But anyway, suddenly my perspectives expanded. So in, but also otherwise, I do feel that this field of research has bigger impact altogether, even though I'm still looking at the same enzymatic reactions.
And what is your the favorite aspect of your research for you? Your daily routine?
I really like kind of the entire procedure when we start off with an idea, which then develops into a real research plan, and then suddenly, then you have this gray area when you know what you're kind of wanting to do, but not really how, and then one day, click, you know. And then that process through the experimental steps, and then the manuscript phase. So I'm not in the lab, working in the lab, so I'm kind of orchestrating everything else. And I personally now, I really enjoy writing, but I don't unfortunately have enough time to dedicate for that. But we currently, at all times, we have so many manuscripts in preparation, so I could easily have a year off just to concentrate on writing those. But I would say writing our own things that kind of have evolved from an idea to something.
Okay, that's interesting, because many scientists say that they sometimes miss the bench work, so it's not your case. You prefer the writing part.
No, I do miss it, but I don't have an opportunity now to do the bench work. Mm-hmm. So I do miss that. But currently I'm in a situation where it's impossible. Or it would be away from something else that needs to be done more quickly. So later on, if I get a time when there's less things in my hands, I definitely want to participate in the bench work as well. But I just, my answer was related to the things that I'm able to do now.
Okay. Could you give us a brief overview of your seminar that you're going to talk here today at I3S?
Okay. So I, in several different occasions, I was trying to ask Paola, what should I talk about? And she never replied, which was kind of good because it was maybe her way of saying, you know, just talk about your stuff. So then I kind of, because I don't know exactly the audience, I have a background to our research. I'm going to talk about some of the similar stuff that I now have been discussing. And then I have selected a few examples from our research, which A, have a close connection to the things, to the synthetic biology work that's being carried out here. So based on the publications I've read, I wanted to find out a story which would interest the people here working on similar subjects. So I wanted to find a connection there. And also, instead of kind of giving examples of the things that we are doing, like a series of different examples, I just wanted to focus and try to make like one story. So focusing in more detail on one of the things that we have been working on. I could give a 4-hour seminar if you wanted
to talk about.
Yeah.
We don't have much time. Yeah. But could you give us some of those examples?
So we have been working. So we have a synthetic biology lab which is set up to answer some of the fundamental questions, to solve some of the fundamental problems that there are in cyanobacterial engineering. And this relates a lot to the existence of an appropriate toolbox, which means different genetic elements that would function the way we want them to function, like promoters, ribosome binding sites, expression strategies, integration sites. So we have listed kind of a series of questions, problems related to these genetic elements and their function, because we would want to make systems that work in a more predictable way. And apparently that list of questions is almost identical to the apparent list of questions that Paola's group has been listing. Today I will be mostly focusing on translational regulation and some of the key problems that we have shown that, look, this is a massive problem and we need to solve it. And I'm giving some examples how we are now about to solve them, solving them is still in progress. But I'm kind of today trying to convince everybody who are in the field that this thing related to the translational control and the function of RBS in a certain genetic context is of crucial importance and we can't predict it. So that basically we have this underlying uncertainty at all times and we need to find a way to overcome that.
And any clue to how to overcome that level of uncertainty?
Yes. We have several different options. We know that ribosome binding site is the genetic element which theoretically regulates the translation initiation efficiency, meaning how efficiently is a specific gene translated. Now, the problem is it's also defined by the following gene. So a specific RBS gene combination doesn't function the same way when you change the following gene nucleotide sequence. So our options are A, try alternative RBSs. But this becomes really difficult if you have a multi-gene system, because soon you need to make 150 different constructs. Or you can use a randomized RBS optimization system where you then generate a library of different variants of your pathways and then you screen for the activity. But this requires an activity measurement system, high throughput measurement system. And the third one is what we are trying to now accomplish is that we are trying to find a way at DNA level to decouple the RBS coding region interaction, the unwanted interaction, to minimize the interference because it's related to mRNA secondary structure formation. And we have an idea. We don't know exactly how it's going to work or if it's going to work, but we have thought of this insulator sequence region, which would prevent the gene-specific interaction.
Okay, and what challenges are there to solve that issue?
In this specific case, there are two main challenges. A, because the prediction tools that we have at hand to identify those unwanted RNA interactions, we can't predict them. So we don't know what the insulator sequence should be. That's the first thing. The second thing is the insulator sequence is at the beginning of the gene sequence, which means that it will be also translated. And we don't want this tail at the beginning of our protein. But we have an idea that we would incorporate a specific protease cleavage site after the insulator sequence, so that after translation, we would be able to in vivo cut off the insulator sequence to get the native enzyme.
And what do you think that crossing to the other aspect of science and of doing science, that the fertility of this mother plant biology research, it's leaving its momentum, and but do you think this is being translated into the amount of investment from the funding entities and from the universities and labs, or not? This is not being corresponded so far.
Okay, the first thing. In Finland, the current atmosphere is that fundamental basic science is ignored, is completely undervalued, which basically means that everything is now driven by this innovation thinking, which the people who make the decisions think that if we invest only on science, which you can implement into applications immediately, that will benefit our society the best. But they don't realize that in order to make innovations, you need a massive amount of fundamental knowledge where to actually dig this, these ideas for the innovations. So currently, we are underfunded very seriously in general, all science. But I would say that, for example, following the hard work of Eva-Mari Aro, we are associated with numerous centers of excellence, a Finnish one and a Nordic one. And then there are several EU projects related to these, I mean, applications of photosynthetic research and so on. So I do think that internationally it's possible to get funding for it just based on the importance of the concept. But it's really difficult for me to compare it with other areas of research. But I would say that in general, this research, which is still on the fundamental side and not like direct application side, you still need to use ways of convincing the funders violently. Yeah.
But your work is more related to the fundamental part of the research.
Well, I would say...
Though you are making the bridge to the application.
Yes, we are trying to make the bridge. So basically, it is fundamental science until we have some application which could actually be taken away from the lab environment into like industrial scale piloting and things. And we are not there yet, so I can't say that we are really doing applied science, because applied science means that it's applied, it's being applied, it has a commercial application or something. So, but we are trying to push forward.
But the application that you are envisioning is the biofuels from plants?
It's, let's say, I would say, renewable products. It doesn't have to be biofuels. It can be any product that we can make to replace the corresponding products that are now derived from fossil sources. Mm-hmm. And in my case, from cyanobacteria.
Cyanobacteria.
Yes.
So do you think that these cyanobacterial technologies have more potential to overcome those social obstacles that have been in relation to the biofuels before, or what is the real advantage of using the cyanobacterial technologies?
The real advantage, the fundamental kind of driving force to take this research forward is rather simple. We have biotechnological applications which use heterotrophic bacteria for generating biofuels or whatever. The challenge is the scale of demand if we want to really in the future to replace fossil products. The scale is so big that if we use any biomass-derived substrates or organisms which need those, we don't have enough biomass. Simple. So basically, if we ever want to transfer these into applications in big scale and really want to make it in the scale that humans need them, we would need some system that utilizes carbon dioxide directly. So that's kind of the reason why some people are crazy enough to actually study these things.
Okay, and if I understood correctly, one of the things that you do, or your work does, is to improve the strains through the use of variety of techniques and experiments. Is this correct?
Yes.
So what are the main, what is needed now to achieve that improvement in strains, in the strains?
I would say that my personal opinion is we need more efficient, optimized tools which function in a predictable manner. And that's what our lab is trying to kind of come up with. And that's exactly what Paula's lab is trying to find. So basically, we can make the things work, but they are not efficient enough because they have not been optimized. We are not able to optimize the systems properly yet, so that we would need to improve the flux, the metabolic flux from the initial photosynthetic reactions to the final products and minimize the other things that the cells are doing. So we are We need better ways of actually harnessing the photosynthetic capacity to our needs.
But it's a matter of tools and not of concept. It's not a conceptual challenge, let's say.
They are difficult to separate. But I do think that we are able to dramatically improve the efficiency with enhanced tools. So if these optimization procedures that we are working on, everybody in the field, once they improve, we improve the overall efficiency, which again improves kind of the potential for future commercial applications.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's so special about the physiology of the cyanobacteria that makes it so distinct from other heterotrophic organisms?
Well, it's
in your work for
well, simply the fact that it's an organism which derives the energy directly from the sun, and it uses carbon dioxide from the air as the carbon source. So basically, if we think about photoautotrophic production platforms versus heterotrophic production platforms, the distinct difference is that the other one is using photosynthesis directly to produce the end products. The other one uses the products of photosynthesis as substrate. Okay. So this is a
makes
very,
it easier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you had to define an agenda, a research agenda for your field, what would be the bedrock of it?
Research agenda. Well, currently I would focus on what I'm now focusing on, so synthetic biology, because that has the kind of potential. And like I will talk in the lecture, I'm not allowed to say that sentence without defining what is synthetic biology. But in short, what I mean is that we need more systematic, standardized ways of, you know, designing, building the things, and less relying on luck. We need to identify the problems, and one problem at a time, just find solutions for those.
Okay. In the beginning of this interview, you told that you were very focused before in working with Professor Eva. So what is now your focus? What do you think, that goal that you start, you have, that you think that you have to achieve now?
Well, I am intensively involved in different ways in Finland now in kind of putting forward the research in the field of synthetic biology. And I am the representative of the photoautotrophic synthetic biology people within a huge community of scientists who work with other organisms. So I do think that we just need to kind of promote our research and kind of build a solid foundation which nobody can, you know, ignore, so that we can also keep this research going on in the future. So it's kind of like a survival battle in a way. So I just want to get
and
to
you're
a stage.
Walking the flagship.
Yeah. Trying to. So kind of fight for the future.
Yeah. Okay. Just to finish, if you had to give a piece of advice for a young scientist that is interested in your field, what would it be?
Piece of advice to a student. I would say, focus and think before you do it.
Okay, thank you very much for your time and for being here.
No, thank you.
Para ouvir mais, subscreva os podcasts da Universidade do Porto em noticias.up.pt.